All right, whenever you're ready.
Hey, Scott.
No problem. Huh? All right, good afternoon, everybody. It is 1:30 in the afternoon on April 7th, 2010. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're meeting in a work session on case number PU-1064, which is the Ashtabula Wind 3 LLC. It's a 60-megawatt wind energy center in Barnes County. The question of the day, I guess, is a response to a jurisdictional determination on the wind farm. We had it on for a brief discussion in the recent admin meeting. Commissioner Clark specifically, I think, wanted to discuss it further. And so that's what we're here to do today. This is Kevin Kramer along with Commissioner Tony Clark and Commissioner Brian Kalk, as well as Jerry Leon from our staff and our counsel, Annette Bendish, to discuss, I guess, NextEra's request for determination of our jurisdiction on the wind farm. With that, Tony, did you want to kick it off?
Well, and I don't know that I have, like, a specific agenda.
You wanted to,
you know, as far as points 1 through 5, but I at least want to bat around and talk about the particular issue, because if you just look at this on the surface of it and you start looking at the maps and you apply a sort of man on the street rationale to these kinds of things, it all kind of looks like one wind farm. And I want to make sure that in the precedent that we're setting here with this determination, that we're not getting so far down the path of this that we're setting up relatively simple ways to get around the intent of the law, which is to cite wind farms of a certain size. And I just thought it would make sense to at least run through this to see how broad a door we're opening. As I understand it, this is supposed to be 60 megawatts.
Okay.
Exactly. Of up to 60
megawatts.
Okay. And located adjacent to the existing Ashtabula 1.
Well, it's separated by it, actually.
Right.
But, yes, both adjacent. What about the contention that, or the comparison to the Dickey County projects, North Dakota Wind?
One thing I thought about that was, even if the comparison is accurate, I don't think I like that kind of language. It's like, tell us what you think the facts are. I guess it comes in, whether it may be relevant or not, but it's...
It establishes a precedent, which we have.
But there's always circumstances around every case that are unique. But maybe that's the legal thing you're talking about, Tony, is once we do this, then that becomes very easy to support that all the way through. And that, what do you think? I think I read your memo, so I know what you think about it.
But maybe it should be.
Yeah. Well, so there's some certainty out there, so they know. Is that what your major concern around?
Well, I mean, I think the intent of the law is to cite generation of a certain size. Now, wind was never taken into consideration when the law was written, which is a good part of the problem with this. I mean, you couldn't take a 500-megawatt coal unit and chop it up into, you know, 3 or 4 distinct blocks that would prevent it from being sited. But it appears that fairly easily you can do that with wind. I mean, you can, for what all intents and purposes looks like a, 500-megawatt wind field, all adjacent, all with a huge impact on the landscape, would think be something that the legislature would intend for the state to oversee. But if you just corporately organize it in a certain way with different subsidiaries owning 60 megawatt blocks, have your own feeder system, and I think in this case, but you use a joint line, is that right?
The transmission line is shared. There are separate collector substations feeding into that transmission line.
Okay. Then you can circumvent state siting law. And are you setting up a situation where you're asking utility developers to kind of be half too cute, and you end up with pretty large tracts of land that have never undergone a siting review?
So let's suppose we went.
I mean, in an ideal world, I think you'd have a statute, and maybe we need to look at it. It's going to be a heck of an undertaking. But that would, you know, perhaps be a separate wind siting statute and would,
yes,
and would catch situations like this where you might have multiple units which individually might be under the threshold, but taken in an aggregate within a certain area demand that they really should be cited. But
yeah, or not.
Or not.
Yeah, or at least consider the possibility that maybe wind doesn't need to have the same siting, standards, I guess.
In some ways, I think it needs siting more than.
Yeah.
The coal plant is a couple acres.
Yeah. In front of the Energy Committee, they were very sensitive to, it seemed like they were wanting the lower threshold. And they asked my opinion on it. Whatever you fellows and ladies decide is what we'll implement. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions about what they want us to cite.
Well, that's, yeah.
Is another issue.
I agree. Well, we talked about it at our last meeting, but I don't think the trend in North Dakota is going towards less citing.
Right.
I mean, if you talk to legislators, policymakers, the general public.
County commissioners,
there's more concern about this, not less.
So, Annette, based on the previous commission decision, if we said, no, this is jurisdictional, and they said, no, I don't think you're right, how would our position be in that?
To be honest, when you're looking at wind farms and you're looking at the factors that we've used in citing previous projects or determining whether they're jurisdictional or not, I think you can make arguments either way depending on what you focus on.
What the unique situation is.
Exactly. Every situation is unique. I mean, I looked at the factors. I looked at the size. I looked at the power purchase agreement. And, I mean, you see my conclusion that it wasn't jurisdictional. But I think I can, do my legal job and argue the other way, too, on your behalf if you think that it's contiguous enough to the existing project, that it's just basically an expansion of the project, it's feeding into the same transmission line, and you focus on those factors, I think. In these cases, to be quite honest, you can argue it either way, absent a clear statute or a clear rule that outlines when you do or do not cite a wind farm. And right now, we don't have any of those bright lines, so we don't have any court precedent. We've kind of just gone by what we've always done, and even if you look at these different opinions, we've looked at different factors in every case. We've had different information in every case, and we've looked at that information accordingly. I think you can, if you want to cite it, let's go cite it.
Part of the problem here is we know the history with this particular this particular area. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
it was a wind farm that, well, not just contentious, but the history was that originally this was an FPL.
Mm.
Well, I mean, I have to think back. Ashtabula 1, was that ever Empower, or was that
no,
the other
no.
one? That was
oh,
2.
No, that was
always been.
Okay, yeah. Ashtabula has, yeah, that's right. It's always been a next era. And then you had
the landowner group involved.
You had the landowner group involved. You have the it leads to discussions that we wouldn't perhaps otherwise be having if this was a totally separate company.
Well, that was something I asked Annette off before the meeting, is that the next area is involved in the actual construction of the model, even though the rules around are different, or the situation is different. And the county here doesn't really have any guidelines that they're aware of.
they do.
My only concern, and all these arguments, all these points are accurate and make sense. I just don't want to start interpreting the legislature's intent of what the jurisdictional threshold is more or less restrictively than I think they intended it to be. And had they wanted it to be something other than 60, they could have made it something other than 60. So on the one hand, I see that this has the potential to have a lot of community issues, perhaps. But the legislature didn't make it clear that two
right.
wind
the
farms.
The legislature may just as likely say, this isn't a 60-megawatt farm. This whole thing is the wind farm here. And
yeah, but they didn't tell us that.
It's kind of like, I appreciate your comments, but it's kind of like this morning's philosophical debate on the power lines is that if we do our wind development the right way as a state, we'll have more wind development. If we have one or two projects that explode, if you will, mm-hmm. that could be the end of wind development in certain parts of the state. So, I mean, that is, you're right, that is completely outside of what we're talking about here today, but it is related, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Well, and to add another factor to the discussion, we do have the new siting law. So if we do site this project, and the company wants to come back and add turbines within their site, they can do that under the new law. Is that a factor?
Even if it exceeds the 60 megawatts.
Right, because it would be a permitted project.
Right.
So how does the new law and the intent of that new law
I get back, though, to the legislature itself. It's not like we didn't have this discussion with them, and they were, it seemed to me that was their intent.
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty, the legislature seemed more intent on making it easier than difficult. Now, they may regret that, but at any rate.
My gut is not to change what they're already trying to do. You'd probably just let them build it. It's not jurisdictional, but we could be really setting things up for a future energy development if we don't do these projects in this next 6-8 months, because there's been a lot that's changed in the last 18 months on wind in the state.
Well, not just in this state, but all over the country. But the company has us more to lose by that almost than the state does.
So what are the major concerns that you would have, Tony, that us not being involved in it? Kevin, I guess, too, that mm-hmm. What do we bring to the table? It is not going to be at the table. We don't run.
Well, it's the same as with any project. You have a backstop authority here at the state to vet out any issues that need to be vetted out with regard to factors we look at.
The hearings that we'll hold and the public input that's going to be there.
Right.
Short of that, the rules and zoning are in place.
Right. That's still all there, and the mm-hmm. same rules, if you will, apply. There's just not the backstop or even the facilitation that the commission provides in the process.
But also in the company's thoughts, perhaps, would be that if we are involved, we can take some of the burden off of them to do that.
There's no question about that.
Then the commission has approved it. But they're at the request of this letter, I'm sure they heard.
That would be implied, I think, in the request.
They still ask the question.
Yeah.
Right.
Your question earlier, though, Brian, I'm not sure was answered. You had a direct question about what if question. If we determine that it is in fact jurisdictional, do they have some sort of? Were you asking if they had some?
Well,
appeal it.
If we do
anywhere.
Determine it's jurisdictional, of course they have.
Right to appeal to somebody or.
Right to appeal.
Reconsideration.
Somebody, then it becomes.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was representing the company,
he'd say, let's cite the doggone thing.
Okay, weigh the time spent on just getting this thing cited versus the time fighting the decision.
Yeah, right.
It's a cost-benefit thing, and is it
sure.
even worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Add a couple turbines, make it bigger than 60 megawatts, problem solved.
Refresh my mind on Ashtabula 1. Where is that power going to?
I was not here when you cited Ashtabula 1, so
I can't recall. Yes, maybe, company.
I'm sure somebody can help us. Though.
Somebody in the room must.
Okay.
That's right. They own, literally own it. Yeah.
Is it? And is it, are the Otter Tail turbines in just one area of the project?
Yes, they're in the center.
Okay.
East of the west of the substation.
Okay.
Center or west. Just put a string to Otter Tail on this.
And the other part is still owned by NextEra, just under a power purchase agreement to Minkota. But the rest of it is still owned by NextEra.
Yeah.
The 140 or whatever, almost 150.
This 150 is owned by NextEra
through a PPA to Minkota.
We operate.
And you operate the turbines on behalf. Okay.
They pay taxes.
Another question, I guess, on what else we provide. I remember when it was coming in, we got the folks that did the cultural studies and a lot of these projects. Does that stuff take place in all these? I don't know that.
Apart from our siting?
Yeah, apart from our siting, they do what it's student and avoidance areas come into play, what cultural studies will be done. Do you know that, Jerry?
We won't have any requirements that they do. I would expect them to check with the Historical Society.
Yeah, they still can't build on an Indian burial ground, for example.
Yeah. And
the decommissioning rules still apply.
Yeah, there may be.
Any other agencies' laws and rules would apply, whatever they may be.
They just don't have us aggregating all of that or being the recipient.
And I don't know if Barnes County has setbacks in place, they would apply, but I would expect FPL to go by their 1,400 feet anyway.
Is that a fair question to ask?
Mm-hmm.
That we ask the company that, okay, what are you expecting? This is what you need to provide us.
What are your standards?
What are you going to use in this project? And it's not just to be a request, because I understand the part of it. I think that's fair to understand what is out there that they're doing, and if there's a big value added, that would tip me another way too. But it goes back to the basic question, your point, okay, what the law says.
Yeah, I mean, the decision, okay, if I had my druthers, what I'd say is just cite it. And if we can get there, and that's as much a policy call as anything else, mm-hmm. because I think we do have a gray area, but I think the public perception of a project like this, when you look at the map, when you look at the interrelatedness and the close relationship with the company that's developing it and developed the first one, the closeness of the fact that they're using the same outlet, although it looks like there would be different substations. I mean, there's a tight enough relationship there where my own policy call is I think that the intent was to site a project like that. Now, I'd also be willing, next session, to go back and clarify it to make sure that we're making the call. But if we have to make a judgment call and we have to err on the side of being a little bit more careful in the climate that we're in right now versus being a little bit more loose on that call, I think I'd go towards a little bit more cautious approach. And it might mean having to, further define some of the list, the factors that we've used in the past, because it is a little bit more nuanced than.
Boy, I wish we had somebody that had the time to just sit with a few legislators and work up a wind siting law. But anyway, neither of you have that time. Just in case you're wondering, Jerry, I know how anxious you are to dive in.
I always tell you there's time for everything.
Yeah, I know. Gary, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
On this? Yeah. I'm with Annette. It can go either way.
Yeah, that's it. You should run for public office.
That's just... In this case, it is, as I told her when I asked her to on the thing, I said, I think this can go either way.
Okay.
The factors are strong either way.
Mm-hmm.
Depends which ones you focus on.
Yep.
Why don't we go back and just ask for a little bit more information? Give us some more time to mull over some of this and do it quickly. And because the next work session we'd have would not have taken very long, I don't think, if we had a couple of questions answered.
No, it could probably be done in an admin.
An admin session, probably.
Agenda.
Specifically, what more information do you want?
Just, you know, what local county rules that are at play in this development. And that would be different for each county. So this is something that we could have in different. And if there's anything above and beyond the local county that they're planning on doing, no matter what they say.
So you just want to see how close the protections would be if we didn't cite it, that would be in
just
place, basically.
Each
sure.
County is different. Let's
sure.
See what the county requirements are, have them document it, so if they're not correct, then that'll flush itself out quickly.
Yeah.
And then if they're interested in planning on doing any additional things, if, I don't know if the Corps of Engineers comes into play because of the waterways. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Those are questions that I would ask if we were
set. Yeah. I mean, it's a matter of curiosity. I think that's fine. I wouldn't want us to, in our order or our letter that we send to our jurisdictional determination, include very much about whether there is local zoning or not, because I mean, the state statute itself should stand on its own. You know, where the legislature's made a policy
right.
That regardless of what any county decides to do or not do,
right.
that there's a state interest that's involved here that supersedes anything that's done at the county level.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for curiosity.
But as a practical matter, I mean, it's, you know.
As we lead forward into the next session.
Might be good information for the next
information
session.
To have now on this particular area.
If it is a non-jurisdictional project, what does the company do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that probably take the company.
In some counties it might be a lot, in some counties it wouldn't be anything. Start turning dirt.
Yep.
You know, I'm wondering if they might be able to answer some of those questions right now if you're...
I think we still want to document it.
All right.
If it can go either way in the law, which I think it can, I think the right policy call is to say, cite it. If you don't, the appearance is you're ducking the hard one, potentially a hard one.
I would think they're probably in a hurry for a decision, too.
But we'll get a response to the letter quickly then.
By the end of the day, if not tomorrow, and we could get a final determination within a week or two.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, based on the additional information, you can make a decision whether it should be cited or not.
Okay. And we could move ahead and cite it fairly quickly if we can, if the company so desires to.
I mean, we've shown an ability.
Yep.
Move through these in a timely manner.
Yeah.
So.
Or the company could just come back and say, listen, based on what we think, we just want you guys to cite it and you move on.
Because hearings in Valley City have been so fun.
Maybe we'll hold it in another town somewhere.
Nah.
It'll be
Valley City.
Could be Laverne, but I'm thinking it'll be Valley City.
Laverne's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a good facility. All right. Anything else? Okay, we'll close the work session. Thanks.
Thank you.